Heavenly Father, we just love you. The presence of God, the ability to have a one-on-one personal relationship with the God that created all things by his spoken word. He spoke things into the atmosphere, into existence, and he spoke light into darkness. And that light has come into the world. The world rejected him when he was born. But those who would believe, he would give to the power to be called the sons and daughters of God. So, Father, we thank you for this this time again. And we just ask that you continue to speak by the faithfulness of God in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just hold it there. I just want to go over a couple of things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:2 that it says, I determined not to know nothing about you or among you but Christ and him crucified. He determined this in his own mind not to know anybody after the flesh, but to see the work of the cross within that person's life. And we are so quick to judge people. And remember, this is talking to a church. I'm not dealing with the world. I'm talking about the body of Christ within the church. That sometimes we are so quick to compare ourselves or to judge. If you compare yourself, it's very dangerous to compare yourself with the body of Christ. It's a dangerous thought process, because that comparison will lead to judgment. And judgment, again, within the body. And then that judgment will just continue to bring in unforgiveness. And I think Steve talked about that too, how it's so important to learn, you know, even though we're not perfect, but to learn forgiveness and to dwell there and to park upon that and to really allow this to get within us. And the reason why we don't compare ourselves with people in the body is because there's this, what the Bible calls this amazing portion that God has given every person here. You have a portion. You have a portion. And that portion leads even to a purpose. But you can't understand your purpose unless you understand your portion. And you all have it. So for us to judge others, we're judging the purpose of God within their life. We're judging the portion that God is pouring out in their life, even if they're a brand new believer. And the portion is really amazing, and it's something, because it speaks of an inheritance. And we must know our inheritance before we know our purpose. There is no purpose. There is no hope even without a portion. We must start with the portion. You must know that you are a daughter or a son of the Most High God, and the inheritance of the kingdom of God is yours.
Yes.
Now, think of this, because this word is really different in both New Testament and Old Testament. You know, because you can take your portion that God and use it for yourself. And you can even become self-righteous with it. And this is where judging starts. That's all judging is. It's self-righteousness. You judge others based on how you want them to act or how you think they should act according to your interpretation of the Bible. With full rejection of the portion that God's working in their life. Mm. And it becomes so dangerous. And we all have done it. And we've all been there. And again, to grow and to get a vision of the hope of God, of what he's doing in North Miami, we must put these things away. We must eliminate judging and condemning and not forgiving our brothers and sisters. And this is the problem that Paul had in Corinthians. And this is what he's dealing with. So one of the verses that we know about portion is in Luke 15, where the prodigal son went to the father and said, give me my portion. Give me my inheritance. I want it. Yeah, now. Exactly. I want it. I can do things with it. I deserve it. I believe it's going to add value to my life. I think it's going to increase my lifestyle. Because now I'm going to be able to do things that what? I couldn't do before. So I want that. But he used it upon himself. He used it on what was to satisfy the flesh. And so many believers miss this. Because the inheritance just tells you who you are. And it allows you to get to know God through it. Mm-hmm. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. Elisha told Elisha, give me a double portion. And Elijah first asked him, name what you want, and I'll give it to you. Oh, I want a double portion. He goes, that's not me. I mean, that's a hard one. And then God gave him a vision to say, well, if you see me descend, then you shall have it. But it wasn't to be used upon his own flesh. He was going to use that for the ministry, for the investing of people, for the working within the body of Christ. Because this is what our portion does. Let me give you keep your place where you're at. I just want you to see this part because I think it's so amazing. Because we do quote it here and there, but to see the overall is really incredible. So turn in your Bibles to Lamentations. Keep your places in 2 Corinthians. Maybe we'll get there. Matter of fact, we'll go there right after this because we need to read that verse too. Okay, so Lamentations chapter 3. And look at the difference of how one thinks and believes. Because this is about, like Steve said, even meditating and lamentating on what we're hearing. And having our mind and our capacity expand even to the fullest that it even pops like a New Year balloon. Yeah. Where I can't even contain anymore. Because when I can't contain more, it must come out. It flows from us. It flows from the church. The hope of this world will flow from the pulpits of our churches that are preaching grace. Flow into the people, flow into the streets.
Yes.
In Christianity, Jesus Christ had 12, right? 11 of them understood their portion. One did not. In the church today, out of 10, one understands their portion, 9 do not. Because it's not evangelized. It's not expressed, it's not taken to the streets. And a world that is looking for hope and in a new year looking for what? Change. The only thing they want to talk about is, oh, I got to change this in my life. I got to change this. Let me change my diet. Let me change my relationship. Let me change my health. Let me change all these things and I'll be happier. And my new year will still be so wonderful and delightful and gumdrops and lollipop. And you know what? By the end of February, you're all miserable again. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Church attendance is great on New Year's. A month into it, people are dragging in again. You know, oh gosh, this Christianity is so hard, so difficult. But look what he says and this is Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations. And he says, remembering my afflictions, in verse 19, chapter 3, remembering my afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. This is what is coming to, I can remember all my afflictions through the year. I can remember all my misery, all my hardship. This is what comes to mind, remembrance. Not the promises of God. Nothing what God's doing. You know, the phone rings and rings and rings, and it's problem after problem after problem. There's very little that says, Pastor, I want to call you. I need to let you know what God's doing. Because this is incredible. But it's all the misery, and it's all the setback, and it's all my hurts in my life. You know, your life is, your past is gone. Okay? Do you get that?
Yes.
Do you need to even bring it into 219? You really don't. Because in bringing up your misery and your afflictions, you miss what God's doing in the moment. So it's the wormwood that continues to eat its way through and dropping lava and making a mess out of everything. Constant mess. Because my thoughts are on misery and affliction. And that misery and affliction will turn to me comparing myself with others. Sharing my misery. Sharing this. And it's self-righteous. It's comparison. And that will always lead to unforgiveness. And we are not being set free by the power of the blood. The blood will set us free. And it says, my soul remembers all that stuff. Your soul, by the way, if it's not in the Word of God, and this is why we promote Thursdays, but if it's not in the Word of God, it will always be in remembrance of misery and affliction. It's the only thing the soul knows how to bring up. The soul is wonderful about talking about our past. I have a Facebook page or a group that I see, and it's from my high school class, and they're still saying the same stuff as we did in high school. It's a constant, remember this, remember when we did this, remember when we... No, I really don't, and I don't even know who you are. You know? Be my friend. You know? But my soul loves to bring things of our past back into our present, of our now. Just because that's how you were then, you don't have to be like that in the new creation. The new creation is formed in Christ.
Yes.
The old creation and the misery and the affliction is formed in Adam. So listen, he says this. Even though he's got the affliction, right? Even though he's got the misery, even though he's got the memory of that all, he says, but this I recall to my mind and I have hope. So there's something that you can override your misery and your affliction with by calling it to our memory. And Cindy prayed it beautifully, and we talked about it Thursday, how the Word of God, it's being sowed, it's being sowed. And one day it comes calling to my memory. It comes up because it's stored in the chambers of my soul in Proverbs 24. And my mind's going to start bringing those things up. This is what I need to recall. He says, and when I recall the things of God to my remembrance, now I have hope. Now I have hope. Then he says this, look at this in verse 22. It's because of the Lord's mercies that are new each morning. It's because of the Lord's mercies that I am not consumed. And his compassion fails not. Great is thy faithfulness. And then morning by morning, all mercies are new.
The great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. God extends to us on a daily basis in the morning when I wake up brand new mercies for those days. This is what I'm going to recall. Not how I lived in misery. Not how I lived in affliction. Not thinking about the wormwood and the gall. But now thinking of God's new mercies, because that's going to restore my thinking. Thinking on what God's going to do now for me. Not what I failed in Adam to accomplish. And then he says this in verse 24. You see it there? He said, the Lord is my portion. The Lord becomes my portion. The Lord takes over everything that is valued to me as far as an inheritance goes. Mm-hmm. Now I have this purpose. I don't have a purpose until I learn the portion. I must learn the portion before I learn the purpose. I must know that God is with me and for me, and he becomes my portion. He becomes my all in all. He fills every area of affliction and misery in my life. But if you look to other things, you'll never receive the portion. The portion is an inheritance. It is rightfully yours to experience and embrace. And then we start to learn about this purpose. So we never go, and he says, therefore I hope in him. So we never want to look at and compare ourselves with others because they have a portion. Some of us haven't experienced it fully. But God gives it to you as a gift. An inheritance is nothing that you've earned. You don't work for your inheritance. It's passed down to you. It's passed down to you. So let's read 2 Corinthians. And then I'm going to make a couple more comments here. 2 Corinthians 10. And in verse 12. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But by the measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. False teachers were coming in and promoting themselves and saying, listen, live by what I do, and people to themselves, they were saying that they are the standard for evaluating, and God is saying they lack wisdom. They lack wisdom. So you can be in a church, but not in the body. You can be a member of the church and have no body life. It's not about membership. It's about the body life. And we, the Bible says that you are baptized into the body of Christ. Many baptisms. We're baptized into Christ. You are first baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans 6:3, Galatians 2:27 says we're baptized into Christ. But we're also baptized in the body. This is why we don't compare ourselves to the body. There's a baptism going on. There's the Holy Spirit that is forming this within the church. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:13. Baptized in the body. In the body. There are going to be some that come that are not part of the body. We still don't compare ourselves. You are never to compare yourselves with others, because the only thing that does is promote yourself. It promotes yourself. So it's Genesis 2:9. It's going to the tree of good and evil. You're going to the wrong tree. If you read all of Genesis 2, it talks about that there were many trees in the garden. all very beautiful for sight, and all these fruit trees. And then there was a tree of good and evil, and there was a tree of life. And God said, you can partake of all these trees that are beautiful to the sight, but not the tree of good and evil. So it was disobedience on Adam and Eve's part for partaking. And once they went, their eyes were open to compare. It was comparison. Because comparison, as we just read, is measurement. It's how we measure ourselves and how we measure others. And only the tree of good and evil will do that. Because it's an evaluation of yourself by yourself. I compare others on how I am. And so I look for others that I am going to look more favorable in front of. But it's only a false measurement. It's a false measurement. We measure others by our own opinions and our own judgments and how we think they should act. And it drives people away. Because we never allow them to find their portion, which will lead to their purpose. And where are people without a purpose? Politicians even get it. They preach a purpose. They preach a hope. That's all they preach. Because people don't have it. And these politicians say, well, I can deliver it. Really? But it's made up of false promises. This is why our portion must be Christ. Our portion must be Christ. Or we will continue to go around feeding from the tree of good and evil and constantly evaluating and measuring and comparing ourselves to others. Oh, I wish I had faith like her. Oh, I wish I acted like him. Boy, he speaks so well. But there's no portion. There's no anointing. You know? So we must put those things away. We must learn this real, true confession that leads to forgiveness on every angle. Let's turn, and we'll wrap this up. Turn in 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to see this here. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We want to teach about long confessions, not wordy. I'm not meaning, oh, Lord, forgive me of this and this and this. Not wordy. Just more rapid and condensed, often. Confession should be often and quick and always before God. So, and it's done two ways. So we can confess our sins, number one, but we should also confess forgiveness. Yeah. I'm confessing that I'm forgiven. That's amazing. To know that you're forgiven by God is your start of your journey and your walk. Because when I confess that I'm forgiven, then the cleansing starts. If I'm confessing all day and not knowing I'm forgiven, you're going to be constantly in the stall or at the altar or coming forward with all things. But we must know that the one who says to confess is also the one that's going to forgive. Yes. Forgiveness is by God. And it starts with confession. So we do it quick and rapidly, continual. A continual flow of asking, you know, forgiveness of sin, but also acknowledging the forgiveness or acknowledging even the finished work. as we talked. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge that the sins have already been dealt with already. There's no sin that you can commit that he is not forgiving, will not forgive you for. All sins have been put upon Christ, everyone. Not just the bad ones, even the thoughts. So, a continual short account of forgiveness, of confessing the sin, and receiving the forgiveness. It's very hard to walk with Christ if you don't feel that you're forgiven. And I'm telling you today, you're forgiven. Christ forgave you your sins. Look at verse 7. Same chapter, 1 John 2, or 1 John 1, 7. It says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. So think about this. Fellowship comes as you're walking in the light. If you are walking in unforgiveness, you're in darkness because you're condemning yourself. You're guilty, you have shame, you have condemnation. There is no light there. And people live in this because they don't know they're forgiven. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. So the confession is all about fellowship. It's about fellowship with God. This is why we confess often. And then it says, and then the blood of Jesus, the blood of our Savior, the blood of Christ. This is how you're forgiven, because the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin. How much of the sin?
All.
Not just some, all of it. It's hard to walk in a portion. And it's hard to walk with a purpose without knowing that all of your sins have been forgiven. Even the sin of believing or thinking that you're not forgiven. That's a sin. Because it's saying, well, Christ didn't pay for it then. Or what he did was not enough. Or what they needed to drive more nails into his hand. They should have sliced the other side up. Come on. The blood was not shed enough. Because that's what it means. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Christ did not shed enough blood on your behalf. That's your mentality of believing you're not forgiven. It's an abomination to God and to the finished work and to what Christ did upon the cross, because he did it all in love for you. You know, when the Bible was written, there was no chapter and verse. So John 3:16, as we know it now, because those were added later, God so loved the world, right? 1 John 3:16, God loves the body.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He loved the love of God and the love for the body of Christ. We must love one another. We must stop comparing ourselves with one another. Because everything gets dried up. And the wormwood has a free-for-all on this dry wood. Because that's all you are. It's just dry. So we confess. We confess. We confess. Confession gives us a clear conscience. Our conscience becomes clear. Our conscience is forgiven. There's no weight upon us. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. So with a clear conscience, with this cleansing that's taken place, cleansing is washing. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You have been cleansed with an eternal, there is no stain. It's all washed away. All your sins have been washed away. Washed and clean. As far as the east is to the west, I remember them no more. Boy, we love bringing things to remembrance. God has forgotten it, and we continue to resurface it and live in it and then we'll judge others about it and compare ourselves. Compare self-righteous comparison. To say somebody that person there is living in sin and I don't like coming into the church because they're here. Demonic voices to the atmosphere. We are all sinners saved by grace. God is doing an amazing work within the people in North Miami. Amen. And raising them up with not just a portion, with not just an inheritance, but with a purpose. Yes. An amazing purpose to serve God. You are special. You are special to God. He died for you. Amen. He died for your affliction. He died for your misery. Yes. He died for all of that garbage that we carry with us. Even in the church, we bring it. And we sit it next to the... I'm glad the place ain't full. I can let my garbage sit in this seat. Speak to that one. Don't speak to me, you know. It's called intimidate. Lay aside every weight that so easily beseeches you. It drags you down. It holds you away. It keeps you in bondage. And you use a self-righteous attitude to protect yourself instead of coming as humble. Read Lamentations. That's what he said he did. After all that stuff, he goes, I learned humility. Then I learned that the Lord is my portion. Amen. That is amazing. We learn to be able to fellowship. So one last thing. Don't, as we don't compare ourselves to people, don't correct people. Don't correct them. Unless you're willing to pour your life into their life, you do not correct them. You have no right to, unless you pour yourselves into their life. Unless you invest everything you have into that person. Because we have no right to do that. And even as a pastor where there is some correction from the pulpit, but it should never attack people's character. We don't wound vessels. You might look at the vessel and say, well, it's corroded, it needs to be cleaned and washed, and people have used it and it's, you know, stuff is growing. I know, Cindy, sorry. But but let God cleanse that vessel. Let God wash it. He washes it through it with his blood.
Amen.
We are cleansed and washed and renewed. Cleansed and washed and renewed. Confession. It's confessing. I'm confessing I'm forgiven. I'm confessing I'm made whole. I'm confessing I'm a child of God. I've got a purpose. I've got an amazing portion. A portion for the body. Because you've been baptized in the body. Ministry starts here before it can start out there. We must minister. We must love one another with a greater capacity. We must lay down our lives for the brother. Lay down our lives for one another. By the way, that is 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We lay down our lives. That's amazing. That's amazing. So we have a new year, right? Everybody's the new year. But I think it starts in Romans 6:4, where it talks about a newness of life. It's not a new year. Because your new year will soon be over. Where did 2018 go? How many remember their New Year's resolutions they made in January 2018? Dump that crap quick, huh? Got rid of that stuff. I mean, that stuff went by the wayside. I mean, that was destroyed after the first week. Well, what am I doing this? Give me something to eat. You know? That workout plan, forget that stuff. Doing the marathon this year? Yeah. Did you do that one time?
30. Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, but, you know, things that we strive to do in the flesh will never come to pass. But things we do for God and do for the people of God become eternal. This is why Romans 6:4, instead of a new year, it's the newness of life. God is giving you new life for 2019. This is what we'll embrace. The newness of the life of God through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just love you. We thank you for the portion that you have put upon every single person. A portion to serve God. The love of God that is put within us. And that our New Year's resolution is Christ. I just want to thank you for being part of this body, and we appreciate your portion. You have an amazing, amazing portion. Steve, if you could come up for the offering, please. And Lord, I just ask you to bless the offering that we may give to missions around the world. And if you have it on your heart to support for Costa Rica, come and see me with that. And Lord, just use this and spread it, just like the widow's mite, the little bit of oil that she gathered pots from all around the city. And that oil kept being filled more and more. Pour it out, Lord. We just thank you that we can give with a cheerful heart. We love you this day. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.